Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the fire.
Hey, welcome to Coach on Fire Radio Network today. Every story brings him glory, where we talk about the triumph through the trials. I am so excited, you guys, for today's show, who God has brought our way. Let's start this off with a prayer right now. Father, we are so blessed. We are humbled by who you are, Lord. We want to just give you praise today, Father, so for our guest that's on the show, but most of all, Lord, for what you have done for us, for the sacrifice, Lord, that you have given, Lord, for our sins, to carry our sins on the cross, Lord, for forgiveness, and we honor you today. May we bless you, Lord, with our words today. May you be lifted high in our conversations, Father. And as I did before the show and prayed, Lord, for my friend, I dedicate this show, this special Good Friday show, Lord, to my sister Alicia, Lord, and her baby Noelle, as they go to the hospital again today, Lord, for treatments. May you wrap your loving arms around them, Father. May you send angels to comfort them, Lord, the sweet baby Noelle. May they feel your presence, Father, in your mighty and holy and powerful name of Jesus, Lord. We give this show to you today. And Lord, I just thank you for Jamila and bless everything that comes out our mouth today. May it give you honor and praise. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Everybody, welcome
Amen.
To the show. Amen. I'm so excited Jamila is here. She is a speaker. She's an author. She is a mom of three and a minister. And she has endured, guys, many obstacles and hardship as a child, but grew in her strength through Jesus, persevered, amen, despite the challenges. And she works one-on-one with people, helps them, mentors them, and speaks at many events to share God's word and his and story of hope, really. Jamila, are you there?
Yes, I am, Kelly.
Hey, welcome, welcome. Listen, I want to give our listeners this phone number because during the middle of the show or towards the end, or if they have any questions or they want to call in, they can call this number, 646-716-716. 7979. So guys, just jot that number down, 646-716-7979. And Jamila, I just want to welcome you today. How are you doing, sister?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Kelly. I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. I'm doing great. Had a great morning so far and just so excited for this special Good Friday. You know, you guys listening, we had some challenges this week. I tell you, with some technical issues and some other things. But you know what? God is mighty and he is on the throne. And we are here today to just honor him with this Good Friday show. So Jamila, I would just like you, if you could just tell us a little bit about where you grew up, your childhood and so forth, if you will.
I grew up in Newark, New Jersey. I was raised by my mother to the age of 7 1/2. And then due to incarceration at age 7 1/2, I was placed in with my grandmother, my mom's mom, my maternal grandmother. So she raised me until I was 18. She raised me until I was grown and everything. So I had a few little transitions.
So you went.
I had a few little transitions.
Mm-hmm. You were raised by your grandmother.
Predominantly, most of all, my life, yes.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, what was that? Was she already a strong person in your life at that time when you went to live with her?
My grandmother was already, I guess she already had raised her children. So I guess she had to fit me in when I came in. She was a registered nurse, worked two jobs, two full-time jobs. So she was often very, you know, very tired and consumed, you know, with work and everything.
Mm-hmm. Were there other kids in the household then with you that you were raised?
No, I'm the only child by my mother. So I grew up with some of my cousins, you know, but I'm the only child by my mother.
Okay, so when you went to live with your grandma, though, she had some other kids there? Or were you the only kid in the house?
Well, her kids were grown. So at that time, my aunt's children was basically, they were in my age group. So I would spend time with them, you know, at times. But I grew up as the only child.
Okay, well, tell us a little bit about your aunt. Was a little bit special person too, right? Tell us a little bit about her.
Well, you know what? My life, you know, things sometimes just don't always happen like ideally. But what I would say is that what I want to share is that one of the things that impacted me in my life and my youth was understanding the impact that incarceration has on different young children and families as a whole. The impact that it was for, you know, my mother being incarcerated, the hardships that it had on my grandmother, me seeing her cry, and then me not being able to really process it because I didn't have the proper, like, counseling. My grandmother wasn't directed with the proper resources. And I think that counseling and certain things was almost labeled as almost like taboo. It was almost, I think she was more concerned about labeled and something being labeled as being identified as a problem versus the perception of just, the healing process, you know. So as I got older, that became an issue where I actually did need some counseling to try to process some of the things that were going on because it was almost a set like grief. You know how if someone passed away and you're going through a grief, it was devastating. So
well, you know what? Go ahead. I was just going to say, praise God that we have come a long way from that, right? Because back then, and so many years ago, you know, children had issues and had problems, but it was, like you said, kind of taboo. You know, you want to make sure it's perfect. I grew up like that, too. My mom was, you know, 43 years older than me, and, you know, all she wanted, you know, oh, here, just where's your straight A? Here's your straight A. But I had issues, too, growing up without a dad. And now, thank the Lord that there's things in place, right, for our kids that it's okay, you know, to talk about and bring out your feelings. And we're, you know, we've learned that as a society.
Yeah, because she didn't even want me to talk about it in school. I think one of the youth was saying, like, where's your mom? Like, my mom's in jail. And the teacher went and told my grandmother. My grandmother was like, you don't say that. Mm-hmm. You don't say that. You know, so it's almost like keeping things secret.
Yeah, it's just so hard, right? And you're a little 7-year-old. You know, then you're told you can't talk about it, you know, and that's what you need to do.
And no one was talking to me about it, yes.
So was your grandmother a believer, Jamila?
Yeah, she was a believer. She was a believer, but she worked so much that she really didn't go to church. So I wasn't in church a lot in my youth, only like holidays like Christmas and things when we traveled down south. But she was. But like I said, she had two full-time jobs as a registered nurse, so she was tired. So by the time she come from one job, she was ready to sleep and get her nap on for the next. But
yeah,
she was.
Definitely as a busy mom. So what do you think was the strongest backbone for you at that time, if you can think about that, when you were, you know, 7, 8 and going through that? What was the strength of your getting through that? Like,
didn't go over it at that age. It took some years. it took a while. But I think that what helped me to be able to process and get some clarity to some of the questions that I had and some of my concerns was when I actually did receive counseling. And my counseling wasn't pretty. It wasn't initially something that my grandmother, you know, was acceptable to her. But it took me trying to commit suicide for her to say, okay, she's gonna go to counseling. You know, so that's how that dynamics went. And so even when I was going to counseling and everything after the scenario, because in the hospital they said I have to have counseling, you know, in order to, you know, be released and things like that. They have to be concerned about my well being. But it was during that time that I received counseling. I think I was like maybe 15 and a half. And at that time, she also was saying, well, you know it's going to be on your record, you know. Because I was almost, like, scared to go to the counselor because she keeps telling me about a record. It was something, but God is good.
I know.
God is good. You got to be able to go through something to be able to help somebody else, you know.
Exactly. We got to go through the fire to get refined.
Yeah.
And God always has a purpose in that. And we're going to get out of that in a minute so we can move on to that. But I just want to talk about that because that is, and that's what this show is about, is triumph in the trials and relying on the Lord and what he does and making purpose out of our life and making everything for good that he promises, right? Everything that happens to us.
Yeah. And you know what's significant about this is that, you know, as like I began like my educational studies and I studied like human development, social work and criminology and things like that, I began to learn that a lot of children are faced with having an incarcerated parent, whether it's male or female, you know, both parents, mother, father, or both. You know, a lot of youth are having the same scenario where, you know, another guardian is taking over them, a grandparent, or in foster care. So this is an issue that is really prevalent. And the concerning part is, they link this population of youth that's having these problems to so many different type of characteristics, you know what I'm saying? But they're not really understanding. There's still like a question mark. Well, what is causing it? You know, what is actually leading to it? And the truth is, it's so diverse because it's the family context. It's so diverse. And it's only recent that they begin to put different programs in different prisons, you know, to make it more a little semi-children friendly or adjusted. But this is a problem that's impacting the youth as it's impacting the high incarceration rates in the prisons.
You know what? It knows no age, no race, no gender, no, I can't even imagine when they try to go find that out and research that you can't, because like every story is important and like every story brings him glory, there's going to be something. Our story, no matter what it is, we don't know. There's no right, wrong, or rhyme or reason, right? I mean, you can't I don't think that you could put a finger on it. You know, they try to because it doesn't know gender, race, or, you know, background, ethnicity, or anything, you know. It just is what it is. But how neat that you can take this and that, you know, from your background and growing up in it and have a heart to feel like that. I always say, you know, to the Lord, give us your heart, Lord, what breaks your heart, and help us. And that's what he gave you, a heart to feel for those people, those children, right? And those families.
Yes.
On my show, she wrote a book of 5 reasons to not commit suicide. And that is an issue our teens and kids struggle with. But there is a reason. And God, if you were born, there is a purpose, right? If you were here, God has meaning for your life.
That's
Jamal,
right. Yes.
Question I have for you. So I know you were young, you started counseling. How did you even get with, you know, because you had some people like kind of hesitant to help to go that route. How did you even that door open for you? That who helped you go to counseling, in other words?
Well, you know, when you're in the hospital and they, recognize that as an issue, they had to deal with the drugs that was in my body, and then they had to find out what's going on with me and then try to find out what's going on with her. So it was almost like, okay, this is the recommendation. It has to be done. It really wasn't like too much of an option for my grandmother at that time. And so what happened was, too, that God placed different people in my circle, in my path, so even like for that particular day. One of my teachers, she was pretty close to me, and for some reason, she was teaching Spanish, but some reason she saw me when I came into school that day, and she just grabbed me, and it's like, well, Jamila, what did you do? And I'm puzzled, like, how does she know I do something? So she took me to the bathroom, you know, and she was like, I know you took something. And so I told her, and I explained it to her. And then I had to go to the principal office, and the principal called my grandmother. So I, dealing with the effects of that, my teacher, she had concerns about me. You know, she was someone that I was able to talk to, you know. And this God just, he did place people in my path that were listeners, you know, that were able to try to you know, give me some guidance and things like that. So after I went to counseling, I still was able to talk to the teacher and talk to somebody else about my concern. And when the hospital, I had went to the counselor that the hospital had provided, I wasn't comfortable with him. You know, it seemed like they were conversating things he was bringing to me that I didn't conversate with him about. It was more so my grandmother using incarceration and my mom. Like, so, you know, like, oh, is it because your mother in prison? Is it because of such and such? Versus me even having an opportunity to tell him my mother's in prison. So it was some things that I wasn't comfortable with, and I just was able to speak to my teacher and explain to her some of the barriers that I had. And she recommended, she said, well, Jamila, what is the type of counselor that you'll be looking for? You know, what are the characteristics? What are you looking for? And I said, you know, I think I want a female. I think I want her to have the same ethnicity, you know, and I think that a trust is a main, you know, is an issue. Mm-hmm. So I expressed my concerns to the counselor. He recommended me someone else. And thank God she was a Christian. She was a Christian, so that helped. Yes, she was a Christian counselor. Yes, she was a Christian counselor.
I just love hearing this because my favorite verse lately, you know, always it depends what day it is, but in Deuteronomy 31:8, where it says, the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. And it's just, look how God went before you. God put that teacher there in the hallway. God knew that this, you know, where you were going to go and this counselor that you were going to meet who was a Christian. He knew, right? It's just so awesome how he loves you so much like that. I just love to hear that. And, you know, he does. He truly goes before us, right? And I'm just glad that happened that way, you know. And so you have quite a list of academic achievements. Can you tell us about that? And how did that happen after your counseling? How did you, you know, I'm just got to say, I'm pretty impressed here with this. And tell us about that and tell our listeners about how you ended up down that path and your different, you know, credentials and things you have.
I started out at a community college in Newark, New Jersey, Essex County College. I got my associates in social work. But, you know, you're not considered a social worker unless you have at least a bachelor's degree. However, I took the basic courses to go on into that study. Then during the time, maybe like a year later, I moved to Pennsylvania, and I wanted to finish school. And Penn State does not have a they don't have a social work major. However, they have human development and family studies, which is a major that those that have an interest in social work are able to study in that field and still become social workers.
Okay,
so,
but here's the question. Before we go there, when, like, how were you, because I'm sure you just didn't start counseling and then all of a sudden, how long did it take you before, you know, that really that you had, or did you already have that drive that you knew that's what you wanted to do and did that along with your, when you just started counseling?
Oh, you mean as a child, 15, did I, my educational goals as a teenager?
Well, you said you started counseling at, what, 17 or so, right?
No, 15 and a half.
Okay. So then you got counseling for a couple of years till you, like, really felt directed to go that way, or how did that transition happen?
Well, in my youth, like I told you, God placed people in my life. Someone actually was that I was close to. She's a famous singer that passed away. Her name is Gwen Guthrie. She had a children's matinee workshop, and I was in it. And she just really took a liking to me, and we talked and everything. She was one of the people that God had in my circle. And she really, I think she was the main motivator for me as far as with college. She was very inspirational with that to find out what I wanted to do in life. She helped me with my college applications. She helped me with my essays. And she always had a desire for me to have a college experience away from home. You know, so I think that she was really trying to work to make that happen for me.
Isn't that name sounds so familiar, Gwen Guthrie.
She was a famous singer.
And so God put her in your life and really inspired you, huh? helped you with all that?
Yeah, she was the one in my ear about college. And then I went to the school I went to was a science school. It was called Chad Science Academy. So the school was very big on science, very big on college. It was very big with academics and excelling. It was very big with that. But outside of school, she was that other voice.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's, again, God goes before us, right? He knew who to place in your path. So when did you, so you were doing that, did you feel, how long until you were doing that till you felt called to, you know, to write and that sort of thing? Like what kind of came first then with your background and your, you know, degrees and that sort of thing? As far as author, speaker, all that, when did that, to do, you know, did you work?
Well, I always was writing. Even in my youth, I was writing poetry as an outlet to, you know, release stress. So I always loved writing poetry. And I must say, when I went to Penn State, it kind of pushed my writing a little more. That school had a great influence on my writing for several different areas and reasons. Number one, when I started that school, I couldn't write the way I was writing at the community college. So my level of writing was expected to be on grad level, even though I was in undergrad school. So they was very big on my writing and the image of the school as far as my writing abilities. I took a poetry class there. And I had one teacher that actually worked with me to help get my writing skills a little up because I'm going to tell you, some of my papers weren't the greatest. And one of my teachers said, Jamila, I've never seen a C paper go to an A.
Wow.
So I just needed a little help.
Yeah.
And like I told you, God placed someone to give me a little help. I had one of my professors, she was on me, and I was so grateful for her that I had in my first semester because it made all my other classes easy, you know, with the writing. It made everything go smooth because she was already hard with me on my writing. So, and so further, another aspect of that, of attending that school was studying criminal justice. So in studying criminal justice and human development family studies, I began a main interest on women in prison. And when I saw the impact of their children, I said, oh, wait, I fall in some of this criteria. I had some challenges. I couldn't focus. I had some, you know, so I was able to relate. So I said, let me look more deep into this thing. And I really couldn't find at the time a lot of answers I was looking for. I felt like they should have had more knowledge about that population than they had. Because I'm sure that if my grandmother was provided with resources, I think that would have helped my life a little bit earlier. You know, she had the proper resources. But I became very inspired with that, and one of my teachers in that field was encouraging me to write my story of how my life has been impacted by incarceration. And I actually started on that book. I may have like 3 to 4 chapters, but I never finished it. I never finished that book. But I can say, just being at, you know, in the school and things like that, it kind of made me realize that somebody needs to hear, you know, my story. Somebody needs to even understand if they're stuck, how to come out. You get what I'm saying? They need somebody that can relate, not just with ministry, not just with the word of God, but to say, I feel your pain, or to say, I understand his perspective. You understand what I'm saying? And
are
so
you kidding me?
That.
Yesterday, I just watched the video. I got to just say this. Have you ever heard of Gershom Allen by chance? Gershom Allen. He just did this. He's this motivational speaker, and he was talking about, it is your story. It is. He said, I came from nothing. And he's in London, but he, you know, he said, I've had nothing, where we come home from school and all that was to eat was a bowl and pot of water on the stove. I know what it's like not being able to even have your lights on. And he was talking about that. It's your story.
Wow.
Your story. And nobody has the same story. So write it. And it's hard sometimes, though, isn't it, to tell the, you know, I still have some things to yet to come out too, and think, oh, everything's great and God's doing great, but God's lately telling me too, Kelly, there's some things back about 20 years ago that you could help someone with, right? So it's hard. What was the title of that book that you were writing that you hadn't finished?
I don't think I gave it a title. I just knew it was like my autobiography. I don't think, I just was so important of just writing how my life has impacted by incarceration, because a lot of the things that they did say and search far as the families and far as the characteristics that the children are, you know, exposed to experiencing. I had some of them. I was on the list. So I could mark up and say, this was me, this was me. You know, so I felt like that, I just felt like families needed to know just how to cope with it. You know what I'm saying? Not the shame, because sometimes it's different ways family process it to children. And I think one of the ways that was processed for me was shame. You get what I'm saying? Like, you don't talk about this. You don't say that. Oh, it ain't, you know, nobody business. You know, but I don't know if it was, you know, but it was.
That was
it's,
huge, Jamila. I've got the same thing. I can relate to that because my mom, I was born without a dad. He died 3 months before I was born. And so, like, to be born without a dad, back in the 60s was not a good thing. And, you know, brought up like that and shame, and you don't have a father. So, and that's not a way to, guilt and shame is not a good way, you know, to put into a little child's mind, right? We want, and that's what I love about your book, we'll talk about later, with, you know, just breaking the chains and just that Jesus can do, that he breaks away the chain, breaks away the shame, breaks away and puts us in, you know, in freedom where we can, you know, not be ashamed of who we are because through him we're a child of God. And I love that. So what, you know, I think what happened, right, is you were directed because you wanted to go help people first before, because I bet you're going to finish your autobiography and that'll be a little later. Right now you got drawn to, because of your heart, helping people, helping families and mentoring kids that are going through that, right? And parents and families. And so it sounds like it kind of took you off on that track, right? Instead of just writing your autobiography.
Yeah.
People
you know,
But
my heart has always went out to youth. Even I'm gonna say when I went to when I was visiting my mother in the prison, you know, the hardest part for me was not going to see my mother because I was there so young and it was such a routine going every weekend. The hardest part for me became seeing other children leave their mother. Mm-hmm. So it came to a point where I was visiting and I was crying. And my grandmother would think I was crying for my mom, but I wasn't crying for my mom. At that time, my attachment to my mom was a little semi-distant. It wasn't as close as when she first left me. But for me to see another child crying for their mother, I couldn't take it. I wanted to, like, hold their child. And I would cry all the way home because I felt their pain.
Yeah.
I felt their pain. And whether the caretaker that brought them there, you understand, could see them crying, no one to relate to their pain, but I knew I could relate to their pain. I was the one that was walking in their shoes. You know what I'm saying? So that was hard for me. It would bring me back home very stressful, very sad and depressed and not wanting to go visit my mother. And that was an issue for my grandmother because she didn't understand why I didn't want to go see my mother.
See, God put a heart in you already at a young age to feel for others. You know, your grandma didn't get that. She thought you were crying because of your mom, that was hurting for you to go see her, but really you were hurting for these kids, seeing them crying.
Yeah, I was hurting for them kids. I was hurting for them kids because that part of feeling that snatched away, that part of that it just, it's like a heaviness. I had that heaviness on me grew with me. It grew with me, I'm going to say, until I began my counseling. You understand? That was part of the reason why I didn't want to live, because I felt like if waking up every day to this pain is what I got to look forward to, I need to go back where I came from. I mean, I had no positive outlook on life. I couldn't. The pain was just growing heavy in my chest. It was growing year by year. It was just growing with me, and I couldn't take it.
Yeah.
And so I thought that. I better try to get out of here. I can't take this. So, but it grew. So I can relate to their pain. I can relate to their confusion. I can relate to even a guardian. I can relate to them and being that, you know, from my expertise and things like that, I can relate to show them even how to understand, how to process, how to communicate, how to pay attention to signs, You understand what I'm saying? Because it gets to the point to where you got to get, we all got to get past ourselves. We got to get past ourselves. Even when we're giving our testimonies, right? We got to get past ourselves. We got to bring these things that are in the dark into the light. These things that are dark and hidden must be exposed to the light so that God can address it because he is light. You understand?
Yes.
So when you keep things hidden in the dark and never exposed, the enemy is happy. So he's happy when the family don't want to talk about the shame. He's happy when the family want to keep things a secret. He's happy. Mm-hmm. You understand? Mm-hmm. When you want to depress it and act like he don't. Yeah, you get.
No,
so things have to be exposed in the light.
Yeah.
Well, that's the only way he can. That's the only way he can if it's identified. Identified and you ready to confront it.
And that way God can deal with it and we could bring it out. And I love, I think it's a verse in Ecclesiastics where it says, you know, God will bring everything into the light. And that's happening a lot for me with my kids, just different things right now. And it's so we can deal with it and so we can pray about it and so we can give it to the Lord, so we can put it at his feet so that he can heal it, right? And yeah, I just love when you're talking, thinking about how we can, there is healing by helping other people, that God puts that in us, right? By taking our circumstances that the enemy planned for bad, God makes for good because we can help others, right? We can help others deal with what it is they're dealing with because we went through it ourselves, right?
Yes. Yes, we can. You know, and I used to feel like, you know, sometimes in life, you know, even as adults, we all have our trials and tribulations. Sometimes we come out of one situation and we dealt with the next one. And I came to a point where, like, well, Lord, why I'm having all these different, you know, these experiences and things like that. But you know what? Today, I'm glad I went through them. Because it made me a stronger person. My skin is tough. It's not soft. You understand? Even in the Lord, even with my faith and trust in him. And then, you know, it comes to a point where you can surrender. You say, Lord, your will be done. If I got to go through this, if I got to go through the fire to help somebody else come out of it, your will be done. Process me. Burn me. You understand? Because you say, if I go through, you're with me. You know? So I realized that I have been able to relate to a lot of different people, situations, and diverse situations that don't include incarceration, but just include just the hardships and challenges of life. Because a lot of people don't know how to move forward or how to get unstuck, or they you know, they will let a situation, you know, of their past, they hurt, they shame, rejection, or even bad experiences that almost torment their mind, like post-traumatic stress disorder. They don't know how to function and go forward. You understand what I'm saying? So I have been able to relate to them, and then not just physically, but show them spiritual principles. You understand? To meet them where they are. Because when you're going through the same strategy, you might not need for everything. You got to know what tools, what strategies, what weapon, and how to operate, you know, based on the scenario. So,
okay, Camilla, so we're talking now. I've got Destroy the Cage in my hand right now, breaking free into God's purpose, girl. I got this book highlighted and underlined and just loving it. Can you tell our listeners about this Destroy the Cage?
Well, I was inspired to write Destroy the Cage. Because I wrote Destroy the Cage and Unstuckness almost at the same time, but the Lord told me to separate it. It would have been too much. But I was inspired because, number one, I mentored some people, a lot of people, and I had to think about what is it that I constantly repeat, you know, in my conversation, what is common when I'm coaching people in a ministry. And I found out that I really had to encourage faith was the main issue. Faith was the main issue. You know, so sometimes when you in the prophetic and people call you for counsel and a word and you give them the word, sometimes fear creep in. You understand? And so a lot of times I had to just think, trust God. Because when we go through, we get weary. You know, it's easier to get weary based on what things look like physically. But when you operating in your second birth through Christ Jesus, right? You have to let your dominant reactions be spiritual reactions. You understand? Not the ones of the flesh. Not the ones of the flesh.
Yeah, let me give our listeners right here just a little the phone number, just in case. Again, I got to give it midway. So, you guys, if anybody has a question, give us a call, 646-716-7979. Jamila, I want to just, this part right here, I'd love to just interject and just say in where it says, do you know your authority? I'm just going to read this part out of her book. Do you know your authority? Do you know your inheritance? Do you know your right and power and tool that God has given to you? If you do not know who you are in Christ Jesus and the things you are entitled to, you will not make it spiritually. He says it pleases God when we operate and live strongly by our faith. And so I just wanted to let people know if they wanted to call in and go ahead, what talk more about your book here.
Okay. So this book is just basically providing believers with foundational tools that they need to operate in their life, operate in their communication with God, you know, and it also shows you the gaps that would make you vulnerable, you know. And so there's two things that can keep us from perishing, and this is physically in the world, and this is also spiritually, okay. The Lord said people perish because of what? Lack of knowledge. Okay, he said also people perish because of lack of vision. Okay, so you have to have the knowledge of who you are. You have to be able to read the Bible. You have to be able to read the book, and you have to be able to ask the Holy Spirit for instructions and directions, because sometimes you can read a certain way, but the Lord want to take you through a process even as you read. You have to know who you are. You have to know that you are rebirthed into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and that in your rebirth, all the old things, all the hurtful things, all the bad experience, those are old. Those are dead. Those are old. Okay? They pass away. And behold, God makes all things new. So when God makes all things new, you rise with Christ. You rise with him. And so as him making you new, your way of thinking should be new. Your mind should be new. Your language should be new. Your character should be new. Your way of loving should be new. You understand? So
What's that verse? Renewing of our minds. Do you know that one? I think it's Romans 12, is it?
Be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Amen.
And it's so important, too. We have to do that daily. But we have to do that daily. Honestly, we have to do that daily. But this book right here, It provides foundational principles to operate in faith, to say, hey, you know, it takes faith that pleases God. And you know that the children of God must operate by faith and not by sight. The reason why we are supposed to operate by faith and not by sight is because the enemy operates by sight. He is the master of lies and the master of illusions. So he operates with the physical world, the things that you see physically. You understand? So he manipulates things. I didn't hear you.
He is such a liar. He is, and that's what he does.
Yes, he is. He is.
Where we're
he is.
Kids, especially kids that are vulnerable, and they're so, you know, impressionable at that age, you know, and he just wants to put lies in their head, and we have to just instill in them the word of God and instill in them. Well, I just got to share this part in 2 Timothy, and I love this about the scripture. It is given by inspiration of God, his word. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. You know, it is just so powerful. I love your book where it talks about applying wisdom. I love that chapter. You want to talk about that?
Applying wisdom?
Yeah.
Okay. And before, if you don't mind, the Lord was leading me to emphasize how the enemy operates. Okay, and I'm going to incorporate that with applying wisdom, because it still brings us where we are left off at. The enemy operates with illusion. He operates with the physical eyes and the things that appear to be. Okay, God wants us, we're supposed to operate by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That means you can't see faith physically. You understand? So that is why when a situation is presented before you, whatever mountain that is, whatever situation is presented before you, God said if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can command it to move from here to there. So when the mountains and things is before you, as children of God, we're not supposed to be moved by the mountain. We're not supposed to be moved by what it looks like physically. You understand? We're supposed to be moved by our words and by our faith that's going to move that mountain. Right. You know, and not just the word, but you know, God is the word, okay? And so it's the word of God as well being presented before that mountain in your life. You understand? So that is why it's so important that when things look the opposite of what you prayed for, that you speak the word of God so God can arise over that mountain. You get what I'm saying? Over that thing that looks impossible. And so wisdom comes with just knowing, having the knowledge to just even know what I, just the example that I just gave. Wisdom, having knowledge to understand how, what is faith, how to operate in faith, okay? How do the enemy operate? Because God don't want us to be ignorant of his devices. And so in not being ignorant of his devices, we need wisdom. And what wisdom, if we pray and ask God for wisdom, he giveth it. So when we become in tune to say, God, what is your direction concerning this situation? He give us wisdom. Because God said if we acknowledge him first, keep him first in all our ways, he will direct our path. So that means all our ways, not some, all of our ways. And so he instructs wisdom to his children. He gives it freely. He gives us wisdom. He does not want his children to be prey. He does not want us to operate in ignorance. He does not want us to operate in the dark. So wisdom is basically understanding how to apply the knowledge that you have, how to apply it, how to apply it.
I love how you said that, too, about faith, that is the things not seen. And when you're trying to explain that to someone, you know, because that's what my whole book's about, too, faith and surrender. That's it. That's it. That's where it's all going to start. But when someone's asking you, well, how can you believe, or, you know, you can't see it, I say, you know what, close your eyes. Close your eyes. And you feel, do you feel that wind? You feel that wind? Open eyes. Can you see it? No. But you can feel it, can't you? You believe that there's wind? Yes. Okay, well, you know, and I just like kind of like that, you know, things that you can't see, right? But it's that you feel.
And I use that analogy, a similar analogy with sometimes when some people question about God, you know, they can't see God. And I'll say, well, can you see that you're carrying 50 pounds of depression? Can someone look at you and see that you're carrying 50 pounds of anxiety? You understand? Or anxiety, can someone look and see it? But you know you're carrying that. You're 100% sure that you feel that way, right? And nobody can convince you otherwise, right? So I use that as an analogy that, okay, that's part of your spirit stuff. People can't look and just see that in you, but you know it's there. You know, and the importance of seeking God in spirit and truth, because you need a spiritual encounter with God. You can't have a physical encounter. You need a spiritual encounter. So the spiritual encounter with God is what issues that's impacting your spirit. You need a spiritual encounter. So that's why we got to worship him in spirit and truth, and we got to seek him in the spirit, because God is a spirit. So you have to go get in tune to the spirit of God that dwells on the inside of you. You know, so that's what I just, you know, encourage to say, you know, try. You have nothing to lose. You have nothing to lose. And I've been in that situation. I've been in that corner to where before I had my encounter was, okay, well, why am I being exposed to these situations that I have no control over? I had them questions before I was saved. Why am I, if there is God, why is he letting me, why I'm hurting? Why are they hurting me? I had these questions. Why? You're vulnerable. You're exposed to things you shouldn't have been exposed to. So I can understand. But I can tell you that when I was desperate to find out who God was, I mean really desperate, not to say I want to know God. When I said, you know, when I didn't know about fasting, but I said I hear Christians say they fast and pray, and I'm going to find out. And I did a fast. You understand? And I had my encounter. I was desperate because for me it was live or die. God, I need to know that you are alive. I need to know that you are God, or I don't have no reason to live. You understand? And so I think a lot of people are in a live or die situation. God, I need to know you. You know, And sometimes they might feel like lack of hope, or they might feel hopeless when their prayers are not answered quickly. That's why when I write this book, I say don't get discouraged when you feel like your prayers are not answered, or when you feel like more challenges is coming as you try to break free and go forth. You know what I'm saying? To try to make something out of your life. Pray stronger. Be persistent about that thing, because sometimes when you try to come out of darkness into the light, the enemy will try to put different scenarios that'll keep you discouraged. You understand? Mm-hmm. So I say don't get discouraged, because sometimes it's with timing, and God has to take us all through our own unique and individual process.
Yes.
Sometimes if he give us things too quick, we might not appreciate it. You understand?
Right.
If he answers
exactly.
too quick, we might not learn the lesson.
That's it.
So I just, this book right here is basically included with many, many scenarios, many foundational principles to say, hey, don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Keep going. You're going to see the manifestation of your prayers, but you got to operate in faith, because when you allow the enemy to enter in through doubt and fear, that's when he can paralyze your prayers. That's when he paralyzed your growth, your spiritual growth, and he paralyzed you, and he paralyzed your breakthrough. So you have to have your mind renewed. As we just was talking about our mind renewed, you have to constantly have your mind renewed to say, I'm not tolerating this. I'm not going for that. This is what the word said I am. This is what the word said I'm entitled to. And this is what I'm standing on. And because I know that God operates by faith, I don't care that this looked the opposite. You understand? I'm going to keep praying, because just like Abraham, when things look the opposite, the more he prayed. And that's what we got to have on. The more things look the opposite of what we pray for, we got to keep on praying. We can't be moved by what things look like with the physical eyes. You can't be moved by that, because we're supposed to operate by faith. You can't be moved. And that only comes with training. That only comes with training.
That's right.
That only comes with training, because when the Bible says that for us to have on the whole armor of God, having on the whole armor of God means an armor is worn for protection. An armor is worn when you're in battle, okay?
Yeah.
And it talks about, and it says above all the armor, you got to make sure you have that shield of faith. So if you're putting on that armor and you ain't got no faith, you might as well go hide in a corner somewhere, okay? When you are a soldier, you practice operating in that gear. You practice operating with your weapons. You practice strategies. You practice not letting yourself be vulnerable and pray. And that's what God expects for us. Practice wearing that armor. Practice and exercise that faith. Practice and exercise that word. Practice standing on the word of God. You understand? Practice your stand. Don't fall down easy. If you fall down, get back up again. And so So a soldier got to practice. They drilling. They in military. So we got to make sure when we renew our mind that we are practicing. We are drilling. When we get them life experiences, we got stuff that come up and attack our health, because the enemy likes to attack our health, and he likes to attack our joy. I'm just going to keep it real. He want to attack because he feel like if he attack the body, you know what I'm saying, he'll attack our joy. And sometimes he like to attack those close to us, like our children. You know what I'm saying? Their health, their joy, or their behavior. But let me tell you, when you stand firm on this word of God, when you stand firm on the word of God and you know who you are in the kingdom, it just got to obey the word of God. You just got to look at, okay, I see you, but you know what? This is the word of God to say. I dismiss you. You're trespassing. Get out of here. You know, so it takes that practice of operating in the kingdom of God, practicing that language, practicing how we can respond. Because if we allow different things to enter into our temple, fear, anxiety, worry, depression to stay there, that's an environment for the enemy that he loves. That's an environment to say, okay, you can pray to God all you want to, but you give me permission to be here because you enjoying this depression. You enjoying this anxiety. You understand? So we have to not give him no room. We have to evict them out of our temple. We have to evict them out of our mind, access out of our mind. We have to evict him out of our language. You understand? We got to evict him on every area and give him no room. God said, give no place to the enemy. We must not give him no place.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I love when you said that we're soldiers. We are soldiers in his army, and, you know, we have to battle up. And I like this thing every day. We need daily heart surgery. We're in Deuteronomy right now at church, and God says about daily circumcision to the heart, little bit, you know, every day, little bit, every day, because we have to. It says meditate on his word day and night, and that's what we need to do. The closer we get to Jesus, the closer the enemy flees, because he has no power. He has no strength. He can't get near us. Right, I love that.
Mm-hmm. And you know, when you were saying about the heart, matters of the heart is where a lot of people hold the hurt, the pain, the reject, even how people treat, because, you know, sometimes people can be mean. People can treat you based on what conditions. People can love you or like you for no reason, just based on what you look like, based on just because. You understand? But matters of the heart is also an area that the enemy used to keep us binded up. You understand? To feel like, okay, they're not going to, I'm going to restrict their joy because I'm going to let them reflect on this issue or what this person did. I'm going to restrict their happiness. I'm going to let them feel sad. But you know what? It's not easy always to forgive. It's not an easy process. Dealing with matters of the heart, dealing with matters of offenses, it's not easy to always forgive, but you have to make a choice that, hey, I don't want to hold this pain no more. Your decision to outweigh the matter of the heart must supersede you wanting to be free. You must want to be free of this, regardless of who is right, regardless of who is wrong. You just got to get to the point that I don't want to carry it no more, so, Lord, I'm going to lay it at your feet. When you lay it at his feet, when you have made time to lay it at his feet, you're still going to feel it there for a while. But as you begin to pray and keep praying, God, I release this person. I forgive this person. At the time, you're going, the person ain't going to come up, and you're not going to feel that rise up in you no more. And you're going to know that the Lord has operated in you by his word, by his word.
I'm going to give out our number one more time because we've got about 10 minutes here. Guys, if anybody has any questions,
feel
free, 416-716-7979. Just if anybody does want to call in and ask any questions. But what is that verse now that talks about that when they hold in bitterness? Is it in Proverbs? Something about our health. I'm trying to think. I have it pinned in my house in the wall about just how sickness, actually when people hold in bitterness and hold that in, that it actually causes a sickness. And it tells us in God's word, you know, talks
about
that.
Yeah, it does. But you know what, Kelly? The Lord's Prayer is such a powerful prayer for healing. The Lord's Prayer, if anyone is listening and they feel like, okay, they got these weights or this issue and it's hard for them to get over or they feel stuck, the Lord's Prayer is a basic and awesome, powerful prayer. If you even, I'm not going to go into it too much, but I'm going to give two examples out of this prayer.
Psalm 23, which one are you? Which
the No, not the Lord is my shepherd. Not the Lord is my shepherd. When Jesus gave an example of how to pray, it's in Matthew.
Okay, which verse so we can tell our listeners?
Okay. Let me see. Matthew. I'm so sorry because I was so in tune in the spirit. I was so in tune with the download the Lord was giving me. But I'm gonna say it. I'll say it for the I'll say it for the listeners. Okay. Okay. It's the Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. You need to forgive me of my trespasses. I forget those who trespass against me. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from all evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. So in the prayer, when Jesus gave the example of how to pray, when Jesus gave the example of how to pray, out of the prayer, if you just start on listening and say, forgive me of my trespasses, that means that sometimes even in our trying to be right, we can be wrong. Okay, even if you don't recognize your own faults, so sometimes it's hard for us to see our own flaws. So you list, God, forgive me for what I did to such and such. Forgive me. You begin to list those things. And then for those that have offended you, you begin to pray. and list it. Begin to call them out by name. You begin to repeat what the situation is and lay it at the Father, you know, lay it at the Father before him. Say, God, I forgive them. I forgive those who have trespassed against me. I forgive those who did such and such. So if you go through that prayer, it's going to take you through a whole process of deliverance. And when it gets you to the point where you say, deliver us from evil, when you ask the Lord to deliver you from evil, and those are things that keep you stuck. God, you know, you want to ask the Lord to deliver you from the things that get you stuck. Deliver you from even, like, let's say, depression. Deliver me, Lord, from fear. Deliver me, Lord, from doubt. So you can go through that prayer and just list everything. And if you focus just on the Lord's prayer, you can get an awesome deliverance from that,
I love that, Jamila. That is awesome. And you know what? That's actually a prayer that I pray with my kids before bed at night. But I love how you broke it down, and I want to share that with them. I love that. There's so much healing, isn't there, in freedom, in forgiveness, and surrender. I just love that, and such a peace, you know, that God gives us in that. Jamila, I can't believe how much time and how fast it's gone by talking. I could still go on. I want people to know.
Yeah, and Kelly, I believe it's in Matthew 6. I think it's Matthew 6 now, but I think it's in Matthew. It's also in Luke. But I was just so in the spirit, the way the Lord was giving me the information. Sometimes it's hard to just shift, but I believe it's Matthew 6. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amen. I would love
if they find the Lord's prayer and just stick with that Lord's prayer. God would just, they would be, that's individual deliverance. They'll be delivered. Whatever it is that's the holding them back, even the things that look hard to heal from, they'll be saying that prayer one day and feel everything going. But like, I felt it yesterday, but I don't feel it today. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. I love it.
Yes.
Tell our listeners the books. I really want everybody to know where they can get a hold of you, on, you know, whether you have where they can connect with you. And because the other book, Unstuckness, is that out now, Jamila?
It's in pre-sale. Unstuckness is in pre-sale. It should be out by May 1st.
Yay. Praise the Lord. That is going to be
It should be out by May 1st. It's Unstuckness, Breaking Generational Chains and Strongholds Through Prayer.
God. And where can people go get a hold of you if they want to get a hold of you and get those books? Is your one book on Amazon? Why don't you tell our listeners where they can get a hold of you? And I want to make sure we have plenty of time. We have 5 minutes with you, okay? But go ahead and tell them where they can find your books and so forth.
Yes, they can find my books on Amazon.com, or they can go to my website, unstuckness.com.
Okay, unstuckness.com, you guys. And Jamila Koop, she also has an author page. And you can go and look at our post. But if you're just listening in, her name is Jamillah, and then Cupe is Cupe. Where's that name come from? What nationality is that?
It's French, and some of my family line that are Native American, most of them have that last name. Yeah.
That's so cool. I like that. So we got Unstuckness, and you know, as you were reading too or talking,
and they also
go ahead.
They also can go to JamilaCupe.com, but it is still lead them to the same website. I think Unstuckness is easier for them to find me without trying to figure out how to spell my name.
And as you were speaking earlier, and we're talking about waiting on God because His will is perfect, this one verse came up in Psalm 62 I love, says, "My soul, waits thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He is my rock, my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation, in my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God." And that's just,
Amen.
You know. So, Jamila, I would love if you could end us in prayer today and just, you know, do a prayer. We've got like 3 minutes, and pray for Good Friday and whatever the Lord leads you. Would that be okay?
Oh, yeah, that'd be fabulous. It'd be fun. Yes. Oh, Father God, thank you, Lord, for this day. Oh, God, we give you the honor and we give you the glory. Father God, we thank you for this day, oh, God. We thank you, Lord, for this day, God, for this Friday, oh, God, where everyone throughout the world is remembering, God, the sacrifice that Jesus made, oh, God, for us, oh, God. And the sacrifice that Jesus made because he loved us so much, oh, God. And, oh, Father God, we want to say thank you, Lord, for Jesus today, oh, God. Thank you for Jesus dying on the cross today, God. God. Thank you for Jesus rising on the third day. God, we give you the honor and glory, Father. We thank you, Lord, Father God, that you love us so much that you sent your son Jesus, God, and you sent your son Jesus to redeem us, oh God. Lord, we give you the honor and we give you the glory, Father. We don't take it lightly, Father, today, oh God. We give you the honor and the glory and the praise, oh God. We thank you for loving us, oh God. We thank you, God, because this day represents love, oh God. It represents how much you love us, oh God. You loved us so much, oh God, that you didn't want us to be outside of your presence. You sent Jesus, God, so that we can come back into your presence, oh God, where we were made to live, oh God. We were made to live in your presence, oh God. And we thank you for Jesus, oh God, that give us the opportunity, oh God, to have a new life in you, oh God, a life, a new birth in you, oh God. We thank you for Jesus, oh God, that he is our way, oh God. He is our direction, oh God. He is our light, oh God. He is the truth, oh God, and he is our life, oh God. God, we want to say thank you today. Thank you for the opportunity to praise your name. Thank you for the opportunity, oh Lord, that you have given us, oh God, to come out of darkness and into your light, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to come from out of the world but into the kingdom of God and to operate in the kingdom of God. God, I want to say thank you, Lord, that many afflictions may suffer the righteous, but you deliver them out of them all. God, we want to say thank you for being our Lord and Savior today, for being our way maker today. Thank you, Lord, for breaking every chain, for breaking every stronghold that tried to hold us down. God, that tried to keep us back. God, we want to say thank you, Lord, for breaking everything that tried to keep us stuck. God, we thank you for allowing us to move forward, that when men said no, you say yes. God, we give you the glory. We give you the glory. God, I pray for every listener, asking that you touch them one by one and name by name, asking, Lord, that they'll be strengthened by our testimony today, oh God. For you said that we overcome by our testimonies, oh Lord. So I ask that they are strengthened, God. I'm asking, Lord, that things are broken, God. I'm asking that the things that held them back yesterday, God, won't hold them back going forward. So God, I thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that everyone is discouraged, God, that they will seek you a little stronger. God, they'll be persistent in their prayers. God, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, I stand in agreement with them, oh God, asking for you to answer them prayers, asking, Lord, that they will receive a divine encounter with you, that they know that you are God, and that you live, oh God, and that you are a very present help, oh God, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father God, that your anointing break every yoke. I pray, Lord, that your anointing break every yoke, oh God, on every listener, God. Let your anointing break every yoke in the name of Jesus.
You got
in the name of
you.
Jesus, let the anointing of God, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We pray, amen, amen.
Like a fire burning strong, till the night is coming on. There's a hope that lives in you. You got a love with God, like a warrior's fight. Lay it on the line, if you wanna see a change. You got a love with God.
Coach on Fire Radio.